call.
Saturday Night Liberty now.
But this is Kilo 4 Whiskey Express, KK4WX, Southern Georgia, 5 for the Liberty now.
Roger, Russell, KK4WX, I got you in the log.
Okay, log me in, import.
Did you get this gentleman there, Bob? Good evening, by the way. N4XYC.
I have this Laura in the listening mode, N2JTT. And by looking at the net locker, looks like Rock is a carrier here, over.
Roger. Okay, Bob. I understand you logged 4XYZ. Looks like, excuse me, N4XYC in Charlotte. I think we got some stations there that moved in 2KC. Maybe they'll move here in a little bit or whatever. Figuring out that we got a net going on this frequency. But anyway, hope you're doing well and everything's going just fine out in your area. So KAHJOY from KK4WX. I'll be on standby, Bob, and let you check others in. Over.
Roger. I got number 3 on the list, Mr. Russell. Thank you for being here. This is
KAHJOY. KO4FE.
Good signal, Mr. Bill. KO4FE. Audio sounds good.
Okay, glad to hear it. Okay. So, anyway, I worked on that situation. Seemed to have been caused by a bad loose ground lug on the amplifier. That's the only thing I could find, and it seems to be working all right, so let's hope it holds up. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAHJOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE.
Roger. I got you on the list. KO4FE, KAHJOY. Looking for initial check-ins. This is KAHJOY for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. Wow, I had a crash there. Both of you spoke. So let's try one at a time.
WB2, Juliet Alpha X-ray.
WB2, Juliet Oscar X-ray. Let's put that in. I just see it on the network. Good to see you.
Roger, Whiskey Bravo 2, Juliet Alpha X-ray is here, and Bill sounds excellent.
Roger, well thank you, I've got you on that locker. Thank you, looking for additional check.
Northeast Alabama.
Northeast Alabama, can you say your call is good?
Stand by. November 4, Lima, Quebec, X-ray.
Let's see, that would be November, no. Kilo, November 4, Lima, Quebec, X-ray.
Basil Key, KN4LQX, Northeast Alabama.
All righty, I have got you in there, Basil. CQCQ, looking for additional check-ins before I get this kicked off.
N4ROQ, monitoring for right now.
All right, Mr. Larry, I've got you at number 8, so I'll still get down now.
KD0RSA, I'll be in listening mode.
Mr. Moe, KD0RSNA, I've got you on the list. How are you doing out there?
Come again. Come again, Bob.
They're pretty light coming out here. I can't really, I know it's you, but I can't really tell what you're saying. Over.
Yeah, crank it up some, Robert.
Yeah, Bob, did you, did you hear a bow there? Over.
I do hear a bow. To come to life, but right now I haven't found one.
It's Kiwi. Okay, he said you were very light, I believe out there. So anyway, I don't know if any more power or whatever happened. We may even consider moving up to KC and get out of these other gentlemen's path band there. I guess they started up maybe a minute before we did. It sound like they're down on 93, which is only 2 KC's down, so we're getting a lot of QRM here, over.
Right.
Down 2KC and asked if they would mind moving, because this is an established net frequency.
Charlie trying to check in. I think somebody already beat me to it. Maybe N4ROQ, he may have already beat me to it there, Bob, over.
All right, Nick.
Kilo 32,
I'm going to have to get it wrong. Kilo 32, I'm going to have
to do it again. I can't take the credit for it, right? So it wasn't me. Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry there, Larry. I thought it was you. Particularly
want to
run up there and maybe ask
them,
but somebody was
already
beat me to it there. Yeah, and it wasn't me.
Kilo Charlie 3.
I've got you in there, Tim. You're a little bit light, but Kilo Charlie 3 protects the Constitution. Tim in Pennsylvania, I have you in there, Austin.
Roger. Thank you, sir. We'll be talking to you soon.
Let me try one more time. QSDQ.
Kilo Charlie 4, Zulu, X-ray, and a Charlie.
Hey there, Mr. Jeff. Good to hear you. With Jed, I'm going to meet you in the opening, I'll check you out. So good evening to all participants on this 75-meter LumiNet tonight. This is a direction net, and I believe it is the longest running and only current event direction net on amateur radio now. And the data 74, founded by the late Mr. Victor WCR. This is the AM net, the gold standard. You can see the website at libertyradio.org. Don't put anything else in. It'll burn your mind. Current events. To read a topic tonight on the real, the great, and that. With that being said, let me open with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. With that being said, let me try one more time. CQCQ, looking for a check-in for the... All right, we have quite a bit, so I will be quick with my first thing. It's the good old epic time. It arrived today, and it's time to see the article on the front. Henry Goodman is up to the challenges. The United States Army has managed to exceed its recruitment targets this year despite the pandemic. Concerns over politicization and COVID. While the pandemic has forced other issues, they haven't significantly affected the work. The epic times have learned from interviews with current, former, prospective Army officers. The pandemic severely disrupts recruitment, especially in areas where the stringent restrictions. We had to come off of a lot. Engagement. We had to come off of our outreach programs and different things that we did that had to be very quickly go into virtual efforts. And Brigadier General John Cushing, Commanding General of the United States Recruiting Competency Command. It was a daunting task since the Army has always relied heavily on in-person recruitment to attract talent. Recruiting is most effective when you're face-to-face and you can get to and feel for each other and the people that you're recruiting, said Lieutenant Colonel Brandon Olivier, Special Forces Commander at the Army Recruiting Battalion in Arizona. He assumed control around at the end of June 2020, right at the height when everything was shut down, he told the FBI. It was a frustrating, but some of the Army found that 90% of their crewing process could be completed on time. They could be focused on phone calls, video calls, social media, that's what they were told the epic time. The recruiting headquarters and then researchers to figure out how generation C functions on social media and how best to approach them. It developed a 50-hour social media training for recruiters to set up accounts on Instagram, Snapchat, and sign up to experiment and go viral. The effort led to the virtual recruitment headquarters that worked with battalion-level digital recruiting stations. Each consisting of several people who work solely on social media engagement. Once they get someone interested in listening, they transfer the person over to the nearest recruiting station. In practice, it isn't that easy. Then it goes on about Generation X. On X turn, it talks a little bit about good old Generation X, which that is good evening. Hi to Ms. Laura and Mr. Marty, and to JTT, and to IRJ, and to go right to Mr. Russell. Hey, forward step to X, Mr. Russ in Georgia. Good evening, KAJY.
Okay, Bob. Very good. KAHJOY from KK4WX in Southern Georgia. I appreciate all your comments there and appreciate you running the net as usual. Looks like we can kind of get a better copy of everyone now. So that's a good thing. I've got a recording here that I'd like to put on, and it's by a Dr. Artis, and a Dr. Simone Gold, and I think they're both members of the frontline doctors, and I thought that recording was kind of interesting. So, needless to say, you're not going to hear this on any kind of TV networks or radio networks or anything like that. So the only reason I've got a hold of it is because of my subscriptions and whatnot and donations. But anyway, let's see what this thing is, if I can get it queued up here. And it's going to have a little bit of background chatter with people in the background because I think they're in a setting where although I can't see them, but you can definitely hear people talking in the background. So here goes. This is KK4WX Friday.
Welcome to the Dr. Artist Show. I'm your host, Dr. Brian Artist, and I'm here with Esquire and Dr. Simone Gold. Say hi to the audience.
Good to be here.
Now, you, Dr. Simone Gold, are the head of AFLDS.org, AmericanFrontlineDoctors.org, and I'm here on behalf of all Americans and around the world, all those you're trying to save and stand for. I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
And we love you for what you're standing for. The people in the military right now who are being threatened with these mandates and vaccines, you just relate to any critical pieces of information about an injunction or a lawsuit that is filed. Can you please just tell us what we learned about the actual individuals in the military and what pilots and two individuals in the military who were both young, all three young and healthy, what happened when they received the shots within 48 hours?
AmericanFrontlineDoctors.org, we filed a preliminary injunction in Colorado Federal District Court. We request the judge to order the Department of Defense to stop mandatory inoculations. We're doing this based on the fact that these mandatory inoculations are causing great harm to large number of people, especially the younger, healthier population. The risk of death and other adverse events greatly exceeds the risk posed by the virus itself. Without the science to support it, again, especially the young, healthy population, there is no science to support them. Specifically, within this preliminary injunction and amended complaint that we filed, there is affidavits by four military doctors, scientists, outlining the harms that they see, and they don't believe it's safe for the military to proceed in normal working fashion while getting the shot. One of the doctors attested the fact that a helicopter pilot died 48 hours after taking the shot, and two other soldiers are apparently in the ICU in Portland. Now, you can't just dismiss this. These are young, healthy soldiers who regularly undergo health examinations. They're health examinations, and then before they go on flight, they get another health assessment. You don't just suddenly drop dead 2 days later. A lot of people want to say, well, we don't know if they're related. And I ask you from a common sense perspective, does that make sense to you? That a young, healthy soldier, completely fit, suddenly, 48 hours after the shot, you talked to anyone, not just when I was an experienced emergency physician for more than 20 years. This is very, very unusual. This is about to be common sense.
I was going to ask you, is myocarditis common in young 20, 21, 22, 23-year-old males?
Myocarditis is exceedingly uncommon in young, healthy people. I don't believe I've ever seen a case of myocarditis in a young person in my entire career, working full-time as a physician for more than 20 years. It's exceedingly uncommon.
And that is one of the things that's now a black box warning, I believe.
Yes. So myocarditis and pericarditis are now being seen regularly in young, healthy populations, especially young males. This is like no precedent experience. What is myocarditis? It's an inflammation of the heart. And there are people who say that this is no big deal. I'm here to tell you that myocarditis and pericarditis are associated with very high levels of morbidity and mortality within about 5 years. The death rate is about 30 or 35% within about 5 years. I might be a little bit off on the numbers, but it's very, very substantial. Even in the best of circumstances, if you've had myocarditis, you have to undergo like every 2 months checkups. You have to be on heart medicine for a while. You have to have EKG. You certainly don't need to be an active member of the military, so if that was your career choice, that's over. So there's tremendous harm associated. And on the benefit side, there's no... You're not going to get critically ill from SARS-CoV-2 if you're a young, healthy soldier. There is no benefit. You can't be giving drugs to young, healthy people when there's no benefit.
For over 20 years. I would like to ask you, because a lot of people are going to think you're some kind of anti-vaxxer, did you support vaccines over the last 20 years, at least some of the vaccines that have been in use in medicine over the last 20 years?
I'm so glad you asked that, because I forgot to say that. Let me be super clear. It's a pejorative, a slur, an insult to just call someone an anti-vaxxer. That's some dark, nefarious category. Most people are, quote-unquote, in the exact category. When people got vaccinated and got injured, right? So that's the category. Not be in that category because it wasn't my issue. So all of my life, I had been fully vaccinated. As an emergency physician, I had to undergo annual influenza shots. My children were fully vaccinated. I had no dog in this fight. So to responding. You know, CNN actually asked me this question, and I said exactly that, because I told him I'm vaccinated, and I never had a public condition vaccine. And by the way, I still have no public condition vaccine. We're talking about this COVID shot that do not work like vaccines. It's a sleight of hand. It's a mean switch. A vaccine should stop transmission of the thing. When the Pfizer and Moderna applications were put forth, they won't even put forth the stop transmission of the virus. They will only put forth the symptoms of the virus. I don't think it's a vaccine, quite frankly, because I don't think it's a vaccine. So I have no anti anything
against
vaccine. I really
have no
people's
knowledge.
In my personal life, I've taken all
of them. One thing I wanted to make very clear to anybody watching this is that the leaders on the front line to actually educate, try to save as many lives as possible. They usually vaccinated and followed vaccine schedules, but there is something about this one that has made you very concerned and very upset, and you're actually going out and filing lawsuits to try to protect as many people as possible against the horns of this one.
Let me say one thing I can't say to you. When I say that this isn't about the common understanding of the word vaccine is to stop transmission of people. That's why we need something like a vaccine, right? So the original application for the disability Moderna and Pfizer filed with the FDA back in what we might make very good, December 2020, specifically states that it does not stop the transmission of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, but it reduces symptoms from moderate to mild. That's it. It does not stop transmission, it does not stop death, it does not reduce hospitalization. If that's not bad enough, well, the reason that's bad is because if you're only kind of symptom reducing, but you're giving it to everybody all over the planet, you will select for those variants that are resistant to that kind of treatment. It's more like a treatment. These shots are more like a treatment. So that's exactly what we see. So the widespread vaccination has led to the widespread emergence of variants. So the original variant, the Wuhan variant, no longer exists. Don't let me get my word for it. This is for the CDC director. He has said the Delta virus variant, the Delta variant is like 99.8% of the variant that's out there. And then she also said the shots don't work to stop transmission of the Delta variant. Let me be super clear for the fact checkers. CDC director Rochelle Walensky stated, and it's on the CDC.gov website, that the only variant that's out there in America is the Delta variant. She then said the Delta variant cannot be stopped by these shots.
Here we were pumping these shots and boosters and everything else into everybody. And people are just running down and taking their babies and kids and everything. And as young as 5 years old, I guess they're even going to give them.
Yeah, the Franklin was saying you.
Probably a shot earlier than that. I don't know. Anyway, about it. What a disgusting thing to think that here we are, we've got these shots that really doesn't even do any good. I mean, they don't help you towards this vaccine. And if anything, you heard what she said, they cause variants. These variants are giving off. So, what's the point in the vaccine? The most perfect thing in the long run, I believe.
Thank you.
I thought you guys were
signing off. Well, I don't know. I guess,
you signed off at 10 o'clock.
I'm turning back to you, Bob. It sounds like some other stuff. I don't know if you got any of that or not, but anyway, we'll turn it back to you, Bob, K-A-8-J-O-Y from KK4WX. Maybe somebody heard it.
Died effectively of
Okay, Bob. Real good.
How about talking
on
there now?
I don't know. You know, when you've got proof that helicopter pilots were dropping dead from taking the vaccine 2 days later and they're perfectly healthy, that's kind of alarming to me. And then you've got others, obviously, that are having they're just totally dropping dead after receiving these vaccines. So, obviously, not a good thing. Not a good thing, Bob. So go ahead and pass it on, and I appreciate you running the net, Bob. KAJOY from KK4WA.
All right, Mr. Rush, thank you for that support. Appreciate it. KK4WA. Next time I live is Mr. Cleveland, Tennessee, November 4th. Excellent.
Is that the Liberty net?
Yes, it is, sir.
Oh, that's a lot.
M4XYZ, are you in there? M4XYZ, KK4WX, got the relay from KAJOY. Are you in there, sir?
Yeah, I'm a little off frequency. Hold on.
Okay, hold on, Bob. He's just slightly off frequency, but I think things are going to try to get on frequency, and then, he's here, though, over.
Yeah, okay, Robert, in Tennessee. Am I in the bullpen?
Yes, sir, you sound real good. Go right ahead.
Okay. I was just, I had lowered down and listened to the people below us. Me and, N4ROQ, we're on this frequency pretty much all week long, and we get in here tonight, and these guys are homesteaders. They just kind of moved in, I have a suggestion that maybe that some of you folks should come in maybe a little bit during the week and just rag chill a little bit and kind of help us hold this frequency down. And I'm having some problems with my eyes, so I don't really have a whole lot to talk about tonight other than I enjoy the Liberty net and I want to try to help hold this frequency for you. And I've been in here for a couple of hours and I had a Q-show with a gentleman out of Texas and a gentleman out of Alabama, but these guys, they just came in right there in the last hour or so, right on top of us. So, anyway, I don't have a whole lot to say tonight, but I'll get back to net control.
Okay, KAJOY and a Liberty Net. This is KM4FE. Okay, I'm going to see if I can hold the station together tonight. Everything looks good. I rechecked that my main antenna. I couldn't find anything wrong with it because I soldered all the connections on the matching network. There was no moisture anywhere, no mouse nuts, room sucks, or anything. Rechecked all the coax connectors. The only thing I found was a semi-loose ground lug on the amplifier. It didn't seem too loose enough to cause a problem, but it got about half a turn off with the wrench. But as a backup plan in case the antenna, if it's the antenna, you got a backup antenna like a switch to. Not quite as high as my main antenna, but it should work. So anyway, I'll just have to keep an eye on this SWR meter. You know, one of the things it's kind of a, just something that I notice with politicians nowadays. I mean, politicians have always lied. I mean, they've been notorious for that for probably eternity. But it used to be, if you think back years ago, maybe 40 years ago, 50 years ago, politicians couldn't tell blatant lies as easy. Maybe they wouldn't tell blatant lies. But nowadays, we seem to be in an era where politicians would just say damn near anything. They'll just say the most provable lies. But, I mean, one example we probably all heard was Hillary Clinton. Of course, she's a pathological liar, but it's interesting when these people lie when they don't need to lie. You know, they get in these congressional hearings, these Senate hearings, and they're trying to weasel around. And, you know, you can kind of understand them telling a lie there. They're trying to protect their rear end. But what I find amazing is the number of lies that are told that there's no apparent reason why, or it's a lie that is so easily provable that you wonder why they even bother to lie. Hillary Clinton was one example. You might remember when she was giving a speech somewhere and claiming that she was named after Sir Edmund Hillary, the first guy to climb Mount Everest. And maybe that sounded good in her mind, but the problem, of course, was that she was born in 1947, 6 years before Sir Edmund Hillary climbed Mount Everest. He was an totally unknown individual in 1947. Nobody ever heard of him. But yet, she was named after him. So you wonder, well, why would she make up something like that? Totally unnecessary lie. And I think a lot of it gets back to the fact that these people just lie so much, they don't think anything of it. And I got a couple of examples here. And Joe Biden, of course, he's notorious. But listen to this lie. This is off the Daily Mail. It says, Biden tells another tall tale. President claims he met Golda Meir during the 6 day war in 1967 while he was still a law student at the Israeli prime minister. Says, I've known that. This is Biden speaking. He says, I've known every prime minister since Golda Meir, including Golda Meir, Biden said during the Hanukkah celebration on Thursday. During the 6 day war, I had an opportunity to, she invited me to come over because I was going to be the liaison between her and the Egyptians, he said. The 6 day war was in 1967. 1 year before he graduated law school, and Meir became prime minister. Biden appeared to be confusing the 6 day war with the meeting he had with her just prior to the October 1973 Yom Kippur War. So I guess you could maybe attribute that to just Biden's befuddled mind, and he can't keep track of dates, and he doesn't know what state he's in or what time it is or what he's supposed to say or what direction he's supposed to exit the stage or what have you, or how many questions he's supposed to take and from who. I mean, we've all seen these gaffes of him mumbling around on the stage. So maybe I'd give him the benefit of the doubt he got mixed up on the wars. Now, here's another one. This is Representative Cory Bush. He's one of the Jihad Squad, as they've been called recently. But here's a headline. This is Breitbart. Said Cory Bush roasted after claiming so-called white supremacists shot at her during the Ferguson riots. Far-left squad member, Representative Cory Bush, Democrat of Missouri, is facing a wave of backlash after claiming white supremacists shot at her during the Black Lives Matter riots in Ferguson, Missouri in 2014. She said, when we marched in Ferguson, white supremacists would hide behind a hill near where Michael Brown Jr. was murdered and shooted us, the Democrat claimed Monday. They never faced any consequences. Bush suggested that if Kyle Rittenhouse acquitted, it would send a message that white supremacists can, quote, get away with it, unquote. Despite the weighty assertion, there does not appear to be a record of the alleged incident vaguely detailed by Bush. Ferguson Police Chief Frank Carl Jr. said he was not aware of any such activities occurring at the time, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. None that I'm aware of, he said. Bush's office has not backed down from the allegations, however. Quote, while on the front lines of the Ferguson uprising, Congresswoman Bush and other activists were shot at by white supremacist vigilantes, a spokesman for the Congresswoman said. The question we need to ask is why white supremacists feel empowered to open carry rifles, incite violence, and put black lives at risk across their country, the spokesman added, offering no evidence of the alleged incident. However, some in attendance have attempted to back Bush's weighty claim. This is fact, activist O'Hall Ash said of the lawmaker's assertion. I vividly remember hiding under porches in Cam filled with shots and firing at us. No one came to help us. We would come from under the porches using cars and shield in between gunshots to make it out. Across the board, however, Bush's assertion drew a wave of doubts. This is false and ignominious. Your colleagues should condemn you. Jeffrey Williams was arrested, charged, and convicted for that shooting during the protests and riots. He was aiming at police and shot two officers, journalist Andy No, who has ample evidence, with far-left rider said as others jumped in doubting her claims. So actually, it wasn't white supremacists. It was a black guy who was shooting at the police. Then it gives a bunch of tweets. It's people saying this is story's total nonsense. And so anyway, here you got another lie, just made up. White supremacists were shooting at Representative Cory Bush. And in reality, it was a black guy shooting at the police. But never mind. They'll run with it. You know, white supremacists are always lurking behind every building, on every rooftop, gunning down, the protesters and blacks. And it's just total carnage out on the streets. That's what Cory Bush would have everybody believe. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY, Liberty Net, and KO4FE.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Well, first off, I gotta ask,
white
supremacists were actually out there shooting at the gun. And Cory Bush is just a black activist. They don't. This racial narrative is all red. They want to keep it alive on white support.
Yeah, Roger, and they'll just tell any lie and make up anything that they think they need to keep it going.
Yeah, and you may have mentioned about, yeah, I guess we kind of forgot to show up for the Christmas tree, and they announced President Joe Biden and First Lady Dr. Jill.
Yeah, I saw that. They had to announce him two or three times before he finally figured out he needed to go up on the stage.
It's a wonder he must have been a monster man. The lights on the stage. It's so sad. Yeah, it's just fun. And they just keep on standing up there like puppets. KO4, thank you. Let's get down to Gary. Here's a new jersey.
Okay, number one, on my list, liberty.org, and I wanted to check on last Wednesday's presentation. I got up to 30. Ridiculous, but they were allowed to take their seats. Now this is, I knew this was going to happen as soon as that dirt bag got elected again. And sure enough, here it is, it's happening. The state police luckily stood down. And that's the trick that we're going to face in the future. If your local cop shop goes along with the spending, we're screwed. We're going to be like Australia. So my voice is crapping out, so I'm going to turn it back to you, boss. So you may say, oh, I bet you'll be shooting in there that time.
Greg, you may have sent the KUFHOI. Yeah, that's kind of scary. But how come they're not blocking the immigrants that are coming across the border? At the tune, I understand, I'm just shy of 1.9 million have come across the border. I don't see nobody down there with or Pfizer jabbing them in the arm.
You're right there. You know, the whole collusion with the deep state and the owners of the world, it's really obvious now. We're screwed if we don't really stand up. Over.
Roger, Henry Miller, talking about the Clinton. What are the three things that don't hang themselves? Christmas decorations, drywall, and Jeff Epstein.
Jeff Epstein. You know, I'm losing my voice, but you know, the Epstein issue with that testimony today. I mean, it's you know, that sleaze bag from New York, what the heck's his name? Anyway, the senator, who wanted to appoint a different judge to hear that case?
They testified today that Jeff Epstein visited the White House during the Clinton administration 17 times. So, there's something wrong here, Sherry. All right, sir. Whiskey Bravo 2, Julie. You get that voice back. Let me go to Alabama. Kilo, November 4. What have you got there in Alabama for us? I am Mr. Basil, the day one and the great state of Alabama.
Maybe it was all men can't see me in there. Don't hear anything.
I will pass the testimony on the second turn. Mr. Lear, are you available or should I skip?
I suppose I can try to stay here a little while. I'll go ahead.
All right, sir, go ahead.
Benghazi, they were calling for help, but they knew that the people, the Native King, going to be attacked, and these people, she would not send them any help. And those poor people got killed, and they got strung up on the bridges over there, and people had, hate to say this, but this is what I heard, they had sex with them, with their clothes off, and all kinds of crazy stuff before they killed them. So this Hillary Clinton is wasn't doing her job, and then she lied about it. She was lied about the situation. They didn't tell all everything that happened to those people that were in that Benghazi building there. And the people that were representing the U.S.
This is a Brown City. Over these streets...
Here's an article in USA Today regarding a Michigan lawmaker. Democrats vowed to push new gun control legislation to try to revive Saul Bill in Michigan. Legislature following a mass shooting. Anytime someone shot, on the gun. I mean, they want to put more restrictions on the gun. The last time I had been used, they had 2,000 gun laws. And, the states that have all these, more than the 2,000, they have more killings than the ones that don't. So, they have that many. So, the liberals are, they're really after the gun. That's the main thing. They want to control the guns, and they want to be able to take the guns so you cannot protect yourself. Well, you cannot protect yourself from the government. That is the thing that they want. They do not want you to be able to protect yourself from them, and that's the thing. Okay, moving on. The GOP leaders have long opposed such measures that are favored with the restrictions, did not immediately commit to policy changes. And I'll move on down here. We'll find that the bill require that the firearm in a securely locked container if they know it. If a minor obtained the gun and used it to kill an injury, the adult would face up to 5 years in prison. There would be exceptions if minors have permission for activities like target practice and hunting. Republicans have not been able to measure or limit the situation. Now, this is talking about in Michigan here in this particular article. If we get obsessed with eliminating high risk, you will then develop and evolve into a country you do not recognize. So this is one of the things that we're talking here. But we also have no freedom. The governing leader, Mike Shurky, he's from Michigan, I believe. He says, it's a balance. It's a very narrow road. It is hard. These kind of events keep those thoughts in mind. He suggested that public had been warning signs about the shooter, and he questioned how the team assessed the gunner. Those kind of things are already controllable, but for maybe just missing the signs, he said. But anyway, the liberals are very on the road again to have more gun legislation and your Second Amendment rights. So just keep an eye out for that. And here's another article about about a gentleman here that put razor blades in pizza dough. He's sentenced to prison. This is Portland, Maine. A man accused of putting razor blades in food and dough at a supermarket in Maine, and you have to be exposed to 4 years and 9 months in federal prison. The sentencing of Nicholas Mitchell, 39, of Dover, who has involved in the two of the prosecutors in which he pleaded guilty in June to one of the two counts of trafficking of the consumer product. He also must pay nearly $230,000 in restitution to Hannaford Supermarkets for the incident. And, so that's two of them. Spacewalker asked to replace antenna after the Dooney scare. Spacewalking astronaut replaced an antenna outside the International Space Station on Thursday after getting NASA clear from orbiting debris. U.S. astronaut Tom Lasper and Caleb were supposed to complete the job Tuesday, but NASA delayed it because of potentially threatening space junk. NASA later determined the astronauts were safe to go out for the ride, despite a slightly increased risk of a punctured suit from satellite leakage. So, I'll just shoot it back up to you, Bob. Thanks for listening. And enjoy. So, K-A-8-J-O-Y-N-C-I-O-T, back to me.
Larry, I have to expound on what you were talking about the parents. I understand that there's a culpability of the parents not dealing with this young man. They bought the weapon, but the father had to sign for it. The weapon was registered to the father. You can't buy a handgun for a juvenile. So they posted that it's his early Christmas present, but other parents in the past have purchased like weapons of .22 rifle or a shotgun for a child to go hunting, which is appropriate. So they've charged him with involuntary manslaughter, which means that the parents had to be present to take part in the shooting. Because you can't make up the way the laws are written. The parents did not conspire to kill those students in Michigan. And they did not, they're not part of the complicity of scheming to do this. So you're putting into motion parts of law that really don't exist. It's almost like Michigan is trying to legislate law that's not there yet. And again, I see where the parents should have maybe thought this kid was a little bit of a problem. He was surfing and looking for ammunition online, and the school didn't ask. So is the teacher that caught him surfing his phone for the ammunition, is she involuntary manslaughter? The principal that spoke to the parents and the student and then allowed the student to go back to class, is he part of involuntary manslaughter? It's a tangled web. And all it's doing, and I believe this is where you were going there, all it's doing is trying to infringe on the rights of a proper and a good gun owner. Over.
Roger, roger. Yep, but I just, in general, be aware that these liberals are, that particular article, of course, was in Michigan, and I appreciate you bringing that out. But it's out to put more gun laws on the books, especially when someone gets killed. They even want to sue the manufacturer, and they've done that several times, so... Thank you, Bob, and Swarovski.
Roger, roger. Well, let's go back to the where the guy drove over people in Waukesha. Should we blame Chevrolet or Ford for the motor vehicle? And, of course, the media keeps on saying it was a tragic crash. The car drove over the and killed 6 people and wounded somewhere close to 60. It wasn't the car, it was the evil black male that they try to avoid him because it doesn't fit their narrative. It was that evil male that did that, just like it was the evil teenager in Michigan. So, thank you, Larry. Good to hear from you. And 402-KGY. Let me reach out and see if I can copy Mr. Moe. RSA, Mr. Moe, KAJOY.
KAJOY, KA0RSA. Am I making a difference?
You are making it. You're kind of funny, but you are making it.
Well, I don't have nothing to say. The paper didn't come today. Usually, instead of coming on Friday, Monday now, if it comes Monday. So I don't have any news as far as I'm still working on that black powder. And what I found out making black powder, I can't tell you over the air. So anyway, that's the way it is. And all this is happening. I could hear Larry tonight. And after you turned up some power or something, I can hear you. That's pretty good. So that is a good thing to do. And X down there in Georgia, he comes in very quick. And so does EF or whatever Bill, he comes in pretty quick. But I'll just be sat here listening.
Thank you, Mr. Moe. Yes, I got my Epic Times today. I used to get it on Thursday, then I got it on Friday, and now I get it on Saturday. So, I don't know what's happening. Maybe our postal will be working. I can't say for sure, but thank you, Moe. KD0RSA, KJY. Let me jump down to Tim. Protecting the Constitution, KC3, PTC. Mr. Tim, good evening. What do you have for us on the first round?
Well, there's a lot of stuff talking about tonight, but I love following Bill. I get to hear him when I get some time. I love listening to him. He's what I hear the best, but his passion is great. So, a woman who hates this country but doesn't mind taking the paycheck. Yeah, I think that's a lesson to learn there. I'm doing a lot of thought about this. I have a lot of coworkers and a part-time job, but I'm randomly asked tonight. I'm glad that I was able to take them off and join you guys tonight. CPS part-time tonight, and crew consists of four white guys, and the balance of 12 to 15, depending on the night, are either black or Hispanic, all of which are Democrats. And I know this because we have political discussions, and it is really, really awesome that this is to really have good, meaningful conversations. Early to late 20s. One guy might be in his early 30s. And they all hate Joe Biden. Imagine that. Well, Biden, when he got elected, and now they're looking at him as Latin, they said, hey, what can we do? You know, we don't know what to do. And I said, the first thing you need to do is leave the Democratic Party. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but let's face it, everybody, a totalitarian government with either side in charge isn't going to be a good thing. The communists that have taken over that party. You see, people at our level that think they still have a Democrat Party on this level. They think they're there, but they're not. The communists that have taken over, just like they took over about half of the Republican Party, the rhinos, going to, I think there's 94 Republican congressmen that are going to be voting in favor of, I forget what the bill is, but when I heard that, I got sick. But anyway, I digress. They need to leave that party. I don't care if they come to the Republican Party, they need to go in a way that during primary elections, they will not be able to vote. If the parties aren't there, it's going to be harder for them to steal the election. It's an idea. We haven't tried it yet. People make it work, but they need to leave the party and try to get these people out. Because it's the communists have definitely taken over. Democrats, they are not. Remember, Democrats don't lie. They misspeak, right? Republicans lie, but Democrats just lie. I misspoke. The communists lie. They do. And I never thought I'd see a time when this country would have a president whose alter ego is more popular than he is. Let's go, Brandon. More popular than the president. Gotta love it. As far as the gun thing and the kids in the school, if you ever read the Youth Handgun Safety Act, I think part of the charges that they're trying to get is if you're knowingly of a prohibition against the selling, delivering, or handgun to a person under the age of 18 in circumstances punishable by up to 10 years in prison. I think that's the angle they're taking for the parents. And a lot of there's something here so it directly relates to the parents. But I encourage everybody to look up the Youth Handgun Safety Act. It's available online. Just Google it. And my stuff coming right. First time in a gun shop. I love guns. And guns don't kill, people do. But we give out that brochure to everybody who buys a handgun. I've had people say, you're not getting the gun without a copy of the office card to get here. So parents need to be responsible. I bought a handgun for my daughter when she was 15 years old. No, I bought it for me. She's now 23, and it still sits in my safe. So she never has a confidence in it. Along with her 22 rifle. So responsible gun owners can buy guns that the kids will eventually get if they keep them under control. What else do I have for you tonight? Oh, any government that wants to take your guns probably wants to do something that you'll shoot them for. Think about that. So that's another thing. So with that, I'm going to send it back to you, Bob. It was really good when I first got on tonight. A lot of flying. But it's good now. And back to the Constitution, the Constitution. State of mind. We'll be back around for a second go around.
Thank you, Tim. That is a great thought. The reason the government would want to take your weapons is because they're probably trying to do something that we would want to shoot them for. You were mentioning about the Republicans. I heard the number. There was 80 Republican House of Representatives that voted in favor of a bill to track the vaccine compliance within social groups. There's all kinds of verbiage, but it basically wants to allow millions and millions of dollars to be spent on track compliance. Here we go. But 80 House of Representative Republicans, and they interviewed a couple of them, and they said, well, you know, we're trying to, you know, make the Democrats happy. F the Democrats, make the public, make your constituents that put you in office happy. Another fellow and I were driving through Pennsylvania today, and on the side of a barn, Tim, the whole barn, it was painted in what looked like to be the Trump flag colors, and in big, bold letters, it said F-U-C-K, and underneath it was B-blank-B-E-N. So, And apparently nobody's offended by that, because that's what the western part of Pennsylvania thinks about Joe.
That was the one I was talking about. I couldn't remember the bill. That was the one, the vaccinations. My number was wrong. I really did that one on the fly. And if that was the one, it was on the side of the phone. I wish I could see a picture of that one. That was good. So, Bob, I'll stand by for the next area. And God bless America. Keep your powder dry. KC3, protect the Constitution.
Roger, roger. Well, we went past it too fast in the expressway, so if we go back out there again, I will do my best to take a photograph and post that. Thank you, Tim. KG3, PTC, KJY, down to Mr. Jesse. KG4, DXC, from the great fraudulent state of Pennsylvania. How you doing tonight, Jeff?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, Bob. Good evening to everybody on the Liberty Net. I hope everybody's doing well. This is ZXC out of the voter fraud state of Pennsylvania. How can you, Bob?
You are 30 over S9 in Ohio.
Thank you. Really good. Well, I just wanted to remind everybody that, it is holiday weekend and, the holiday month, I should say. Christmas is coming up, and they're doing everything in this holiday to do what damage they can before it looks like. Christianity is on the chopping block this year, everybody. So, you need me on top of the game. Hey, I got this story off of Gateway Pundits I wanted to break to everybody. I don't know how much everybody's heard the latest news, but hey, breaking, CNN fires Chris Cuomo, effective immediately. This couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Oh, well, anyway, the story goes into this, Bob and I, and everybody else on the Liberty Net. Oh, by the way, good to hear everybody. Great comments tonight. Before I start this article, I just wanted to say, Mr. Mo, we hear you pretty good. So thanks for being here tonight, Mr. Mo, and everybody else tonight. Too many to list. All right, let's see. CNN announced late Saturday afternoon the cable network has fired Chris Cuomo, effective immediately following an investigation into Cuomo's using his journalism contacts to help defend his brother, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Yep, I'll tell you what, two peas of a pot. Anyway, the Democratic was Chris Cuomo, when he was facing numerous allegations of sexual assault by female staffers, Andrew Cuomo resigned in disgrace last August. CNN had previously suspended Cuomo last Tuesday, but said Saturday that an additional information had come to light. In their investigation of Cuomo, it apparently prompted his immediate termination. So, Chris Cuomo was suspended earlier this week, pending further evaluation of the information that came to light about his involvement with his brother's defense. We retained a respected law firm to conduct the review and have terminated him effective immediately. While the process of the review, in addition, no information has come to light. Despite the termination, we will investigate as appropriate. So, you know, Andrew Cuomo and his brother, Chris Cuomo, Fredo finally got his just reward. Hopefully this whole event's going to escalate into something else, I believe. So, let's just keep our ears open and see what happens with that. We're looking like we picked up 8 seats to the House now, due to these elections. It looks like one of the Virginia state judges have ruled in favor of the Republican Party with the recount in Virginia that's been going on. So it looks like a lot of things is not going the way Brandon wants it to. Well, anyway, I won't hold it too long because we got a lot of mess going on, ladies and gentlemen. So I appreciate Bob for running the net tonight and everybody else out here participating. God bless us, great country. And oh, yeah, by the way, PTZ, protect the Constitution, Mr. Tim. And yeah, keep your powder dry. This is AG4 in Leesburg. X-ray and a Charlie out of the Vodafone State of Pennsylvania, back to KHJOY in the Saturday Night Liberty Net.
Roger, Mr. Jesse, KG4, CX, Tennessee. I see the article about Cuomo. Now, it makes me wonder, where is going to pop up next? Will they end up on MSNBC? Where will those two end up? You know they're going to surface somewhere in a short time.
Maybe it's RT News.
Yeah. There's something to miss here. The interesting thing is they suspended him at the beginning of the week and fired him today after their investigation. Holy crap, they do a fast job of investigating, but yet they can't get January 6th right.
Yeah, you said it. Well, the same thing's happening out in Arizona right now, Bob. You know, that Bolshevik guy, the Attorney General, he's been dragging his seat for over, 75 days, I believe, get the voter fraud when they handed it to him. They handed it to him on a platter, Bob, and he refuses to do the prosecution of at least six of them individuals. Anyway, enough of that. Back to you, Bob.
All righty. Thank you, Jesse. All righty. Before I jump up to the top of the list, I first want to say thank you to Paul for recording. We have a nice list tonight, Paul, and the band seems to be respectable. So thank you, sir. And let me see if I have any other late check-ins before I go up to the top of the list. Over.
Yeah, whiskey two, golf is the right idea. Whiskey four, Kilo India, Kilo.
That would be Mr. Frank from Fishkill. How are you tonight, sir? And I'm going to pass it right to you.
Okay. Thank you. Good evening, everyone on the net. Let's see, what do I have? Something that's kind of interesting, but it's kind of off topic. Because recently, where I in this neighborhood in my county, we had a windstorm come through and a bunch of people lost their homes. And so I said, well, one of the things I wanted to do was find out if I could keep warm without any power. And it turns out that I have an electric bed warmer. To find out that it's I could actually run it on 13 volts, on 12 volts DC, and it works just fine. I just take the controller off, I measured the resistance, it was 168 ohms, and I think there's two, actually it's more 80 ohms. And I powered it up, and my temperature is at 91 degrees. So, anyhow, it's an interesting thing to do, emergency. If you have an electric bed warmer, you can keep warm with running it over 12 volts, and you're about 20 minutes. So that will run for quite a while. In fact, it's running on well, quite a while, let's put it that way. And I do get to this one of these projects out in Arizona. She has like 38 states that were signed up to do books for auditing, so I'll have to go back and look and see what the latest blurb is. But anyhow, I'm not going to stick in here because I'm going to be up early for church tomorrow at 9 o'clock, so I'm going to bid y'all farewell, and I'm going to bring you the other good news, and that God loves us and wants to bless us. So, that's the good news for tonight. Back to you, WGIO.
Thank you, Mr. Frank. I appreciate you being with us, and say a prayer for America tomorrow. Over. Oh, yeah.
For a fact.
I'm for a fact.
WTGIO.
All righty, sir. W2GIO, KJY, sign. Anybody else late checking before I move this off the list?
Contact.
Zero November. Zero Dango Archer.
Kilo November 4, Radio Tango Oscar. Mr. Gary? Well, Mr. Gary, I'm at the bottom of the list. I handed you the net logger. Go ahead and kick off. Well, that is a true statement. We do need to pray for this nation, because, and we need to stand up for our rights. We're one of the few nations, I think we're probably the only one, that has a true constitution with a Bill of Rights. And every time you let a piece of that go, you won't get it back. Anything else that you'd like to add? Roger, roger. Well, thank you for stopping. Stick around. We go through the list three times. So I'm at the bottom of the list, but I saw Michael check in. I'm Netlogger, K4DFR in North Carolina. Mr. Michael, can I pass it to you for some comments? I am doing well, sir. It's good to hear you. I did not hear you down the band, and I didn't even go into Netlogger very long, so I don't know if you were down there, but I'm going to pass the baton to you for some thoughts.
Yes, sir. I was down on the other line for a little while and decided I'd come up here and ventilate for a minute, if you don't mind.
I would be happy to have your ventilation.
I was reading that article about that dipstick Alex Baldwin, and they are now trying to blame the ammo manufacturer for that girl getting killed, and they still refuse to believe that stupid SOB put his finger on the trigger, pointed the gun at that woman, pulled the trigger, and killed her. I'm sorry, but there is no one on this earth going to convince me that anybody is responsible other than him.
Well, that is a good statement, and I like in the investigation, the sheriff's office gathered more than 500 empty shell casings. People had live ammunition on the set, and they were plunking, I don't know, beer cans, beer bottles, signs, I don't know what they were shooting, but they were doing target practice in between buildings. So there's a problem that the state, the armor of that place, did not have that under control. But like you said, the person that's responsible for that weapon to be either empty or only have blank is the person that has it in their hand and is about to use it, whether it's for filming, for a prop, whatever. It was in Alex Baldwin's hand. He was crying that he was sorry that he shot her, but now he's denying that he pulled the trigger. Another example of we're going to blame the weapon, and of course you said the ammunition and not the human being that had control of it.
The Colt 45 pacemaker revolver that he held in his hand, there is no way on earth that turned loose without him pulling the trigger. It just ain't going to happen, and you know, that's the way that particular firearm was designed. Yeah, he can claim all he wants to about that, but it ain't. The reason
They're trying to blame the armorer. They're blaming all these other people. What they need to be looking at is flat security to allow these people to take these weapons. Because that in itself is a security issue. The fact that the gun was loaded when it came back, again, that was a security issue. Gun was loaded when it was handed to Alec Baldwin. That's an Alec Baldwin issue. Nobody else to blame but him.
You could bet your sweet pippy if it would have been somebody like, let me think of a actor. Let's say it was Charlton Heston. If it had been Charlton Heston, who was an avid NRA, had it gone off in his hand, they would have already lynched him. However, it would not have gone off in Charlton Heston's hand because he had the brain to check it and clear it.
Now, if you get Keanu Reeves, Halle Berry, or any of the others around, they would have been prosecuted before sunset. But because it's Alec Baldwin, a stout Democrat and very serious gun control jerk, and all the Democrats and money are behind him, nobody will ever allow him to take the blame for something that he did.
How very true. All righty, Michael, I'm going to jump up to the top of the list. I got 14 people listed. Thank you for coming along. I'll call you when I get back to your name. Over.
K4BFR.
Alrighty, K4BFR, KJY. I'm going to jump up to the top and I'm just going to read the rest of this article about the Army. Recruiting is up despite COVID. The only piece I'm going to read is about Generation Z. That would be the young people that are about to be enlisted. It talks about the recruiters are all non-commissioned officers, staff sergeants and above. It takes time to rise to these ranks, and so there's usually a generation divide. The officers are all millennials or Generation X, which means that we're not social media natives, so there's been a lot of learning that has to go into this recruiting. The goal was to produce videos that are very watchable, but also educational, and that's not always the easiest thing to do, he said. Another challenge is that today's youth isn't particularly quick to make long-term commitments, according to Cushing. They are a wait-and-see generation, yet they're not thinking beyond the next couple of years, he said. The officers repeatedly stress education. The level of knowledge, the level of understanding, and the clarity of everything that the Army's got to do offer has certain decline. I noticed the commercial, I'll stop there. The commercial for the Army talks about a female that's signing up and her two mothers. And the commercial for the U.S. Marines is definitely softer than it was many years ago, but it's still the few and the proud, the U.S. Marines. So, interesting how we've changed. With that being said, let me say hello to Miss Laura again, and to JTT, and to IRJ, the Marquette, and I'll go to Mr. Russell, KK4WX. Mr. Russ, round number two, what say you?
Okay, Bob, good deal. J-O-Y from KK4WX, Southern Georgia, and good copy all the way around, and everybody's made some good comments, and we've enjoyed them all. Too many to comment on for sure, but the station there, I might would like to comment a little bit about that Alec Baldwin deal and him kind of committing, I don't know if you could say it was murder or manslaughter, but certainly ought to be a charge of involuntary manslaughter. I mean, he was careless, and somebody should be responsible there. I mean, you know, it's the gun just didn't go off by itself. So we all know that it definitely had somebody's hand on the gun, and And I just can't imagine taking any kind of firearm and picking it up and then turning around and just pointing it at somebody and pulling the trigger unless I had done a complete check. I mean, for number one, I would never point a gun at anyone. Now, I don't know if this was a movie scene that was being filmed and maybe he was supposed to be pulling a gun at someone. I don't know. But it doesn't, the whole thing just doesn't just sink in high heaven. And, if you point a gun at somebody, that's, you know, the first rule of thumb is you don't never point the muzzle or the firearm at anything you're not willing to put a hole in and possibly kill it. So, that right there is just the number one rule, period. You don't point the muzzle at anything, regardless of whether you think it's loaded or unloaded. You do not point the muzzle at anything unless you're willing to put a hole in it. So, as far as I'm concerned, that number one rule was broken. If it wasn't, if it had been adhered to, evidently that young woman wouldn't have been, she wouldn't have been killed. So, there you go. There was another unfortunate, I guess you could say, hunting accident or something. It seemed like my wife was telling me this happened in Texas, but don't quote me on that. I just know the details of what she told me. She said that some guy was going out and he had taken his 11-year-old daughter out hunting with him. Somehow or another, he was unloading the rifle, and I guess he had it laying in the seat of his, of the vehicle or the trunk, whatever he was in. And I don't know if he thought it was unloaded or whatever. He had unloaded it all. He was in the process of unloading it, is what I understand. And then his 11-year-old daughter came in through the passenger side door, and I guess he must have had, again, the muzzle pointing the wrong way. He had it laying in the seat, and supposedly, I understand he had the thumb on the hammer of the rifle. Well, I'm trying to think. There's several things that would have hammers on them to be a single shot type rifle or a single shot shotgun or. But what really comes to mind to me is, more than anything, is a lever-action rifle. Is what I understand, it was a rifle, so I'm thinking, well, it must have been a lever-action rifle. Lever-action rifles are very, very easy to have miss out because there's only one way you can put it on safety, and that's to take your thumb and put it on the hammer and hold the hammer with enough force and then reach down at the same time and touch the trigger. And as you pull the trigger, you let the hammer down slowly. And sometimes that's hard to do, especially if you don't have a lot of grip or whatever, because that hammer's got a lot of force, a lot of strength to it. Bad things can happen, which is more the reason you should always have the firearm pointed in a safe place. You never have it pointed in a position of someone especially coming in the door. Well, needless to say, he shot his 11-year-old girl in the chest, his 11-year-old daughter, in the chest and killed him. So, you know, a little 11-year-old anybody, as far as that goes, can't take a round like that in the chest and live through it. If they do, they're extremely lucky. Just an unfortunate, careless mishap. And I don't know. I wish anybody that that really is not familiar with firearms and whatnot, they need to become, they need to go to firearms courses and whatnot and learn how to handle these things. Learn safety, safety, safety. We always used to, when I went to the range, well, I used to do a lot of competitive shooting and whatnot. I mean, we put safety first ahead of anything. And it's just common sense. Don't point the muzzle at anything unless you're willing to put a hole in it. So I won't talk about the knucklehead up in Michigan that deliberately killed a bunch of his fellow students with that pistol. Boy, I tell you what, you can see it coming. But I think they charged the parents with some manslaughter charges and whatnot. I think they should equally charge or do something with the school authorities. I mean, somebody should search that guy. A book bag or whatever it was, a backpack. I mean, he was on school property. From what I understand, if you're on school property, you're subject to the search. At least that's the way it is here in Georgia. If you go on school property and you've got you a backpack or whatever, or a locker, it can be searched by the authorities or by anybody that's, you know, in that position. They can, that's authorized to do so. And somebody failed and didn't, they just absolutely didn't check. But having said that, it wasn't, the guy done the shooting, he done it himself, so, I mean, he's half up the blame. So, I don't know. It's getting to be a real, real terrible world we're living in, and just people just absolutely have no regard for life whatsoever. Something else I was going to mention right quick, Bob. I was looking at some video over the weekend, I think on Newsmax or whatever, and they were showing these old maybe recent films and videos and whatnot of these Black Lives Matter groups. And there's something I noticed with the Black Lives Matter group that they all had in common. That is, they all held up the Klan fist. And they even had posters that they held up behind. And they had pictures of the clenched fist drawn on these poster boards. So, I don't know if these people are just completely and totally ignorant or what. The news media isn't bringing it out. Nobody said anything about it. Newsmax, CNN, Fox, none of them. They don't, nobody seems to get on and say, what's this clenched fist deal? If anybody knows in the right mind that knows anything about anything knows that a clenched fist represents communism. It's plain and simple, pure communism. Why won't these news media bring this back out? Some of these people, some of the younger people now that's being taught in our schools and whatnot, they're just ignorant. They absolutely do not know what these signs mean. And it's our time that we teach them. Bob, enjoying the net, and I appreciate you doing this a good job again. KAHJOY, KK4WX, Rowan.
All righty, Russ. Well, thank you, KK4WX. And I wanted to comment on your QRZ page. I like the Luke, Book 2, verses 8 through 14 on your QRZ page. Over.
Roger. Thank you very much.
All right. And again, young people have no idea. I've told this story. There's a young lady that works at the gas station. Her daughter graduated from our high school, which is an expensive high school. And I was asking her questions about what was the area in time of the Civil War. She didn't know. Do you know when World War II was? She didn't know. Do you know the date of the bombing of Pearl Harbor? She didn't know. I asked her about the area of Korea, the area of Vietnam. Did we fight for South Korea or for North Korea? She didn't know. I finally got disgusted and said, do you have any idea when the War of 1812 was? And she told her mother that that police officer is nasty. But she didn't know, Ron.
Oh my goodness, what a surprise, Bob. I mean, my God, that's, you know, I guess they're just not teaching them anything in school anymore, Over.
I don't know what they're teaching them. It really is sad. And since I mentioned about that, we all know Tuesday will be the, I hate to use the word anniversary. It'll be a date that will be an infamy when America was bombed and brought into World War II. It's kind of interesting. Our young people have no idea of our history. They don't know how we got here. They don't know why we have freedom. It's just sad. It really is sad, Russell. KK4WX, thank you. KAJOY. I'm going to jump down to Cleveland, Tennessee. November 4. X-ray, Yankee, and a Charlie. Mr. John, what do you have for round number 2?
John, you listen there, John, in Cleveland.
Nothing heard, Mr. Larry?
No, nothing heard. He must have had a place he needed to go or do something important. He was in trouble with this.
Roger, roger. Well, thank you, Larry. We have a good list, and we're trying to get through it quickly, so I just have to have everybody be patient. With that being said, I'm back to Mr. Bill with probably a very good topic for round number 2. KO4FE, sounds like your radio and your amplifier are holding up. KAJOY, what you got?
Okay, KAJOY, LibertyNet. From KO4FE, yeah, it looks like it's holding up. The SWR's staying down. Of course, I put the analyzer on both antennas and dialed them in for, I think I got them down to 1.01 to 1. So if the SWR goes up at all, I know something's going on. Okay, well, we got yet another one of these hate crazed 13% or professors putting out a bunch of rhetoric. There's Gateway Pundit headline, professor goes on racist rant against white people, calls them demonic monsters. Professor Cassandra A-Line Jones went on a racist tirade against white people in response to a video posted by Candace Owens. Jones claims on her Facebook page that she is an adjunct professor at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary in Charlotte. So she's in a religious college and is listed as an associate professor at Rockbridge Seminary. So this woman's presumably a Christian teaching at two seminaries. Let's look at what she said. Said in response to a video posted by Owens, Jones wrote that white people are the largest percentage of demonic monsters in this country. I don't know, sounds like I guess that passes for a Christian comment nowadays. Anyway, she said her statements about blacks are not, as she's talking about Candace Owens, she says her statements about blacks are not facts. White-on-white crime exceeds any other crime in this country. Well, I'm not sure about that, but even if it was true, it wouldn't mean anything because white people are still the majority in the country. So, yes, there will be more white on white crimes in raw numbers, but you got to look at the per capita. But anyway, she says they are still the largest percentage of demonic monsters in this country. No group of people compares to the hatred, evil, and demons more than white people. They carry their guns, Bibles, Confederate flags, and pray to God with hatred for everyone who is not like them. This woman does not know a statistic, nor does she understand statistical research. As a PhD and a professor, I certainly do. Well, I would argue with that. Well, though Jones may enjoy waving around her credentials, she is still wrong. According to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, the offender is the same race as the victim in the majority of violent crimes. A 2018 national survey found criminal offenders were the same race as the victim 70% of the time for blacks and 62% for whites. In a must-read article about inner-city violence in the City Journal, the author noted drive-by shootings are happening virtually exclusively in their African-American neighborhoods, taking a toll on black children that would be inconceivable if white children were involved. If dozens of white children had been murdered over the summer, it would be a national scandal accompanied by demands for radical protection measures. Likewise, if even a handful of black children had been killed by whites, the uproar over white supremacy would dwarf anything seen to date. Instead, since the black children's assailants are presumed to be black themselves, the country looks away lest it be accused of a taboo attention to black crime, the report continued. Well, it's not that the country looks the other way. It's apparently that black people look the other way. The Democrats, they vote for these damn politicians that put in these relaxed police and law enforcement policies, get rid of the police, cash bail, reduced clean out the jails, put more criminals out on the streets. So I gotta blame the black people themselves, because 95% of them in these cities vote for the Democrats and they vote for less police. Seth Jones is perhaps even more radical over on Twitter, with constant retweets of people calling Republicans and other ideological foes enemies of the state, or calling for politicians she dislikes to be removed from Congress. The Gateway Pundit has reached out to Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, Charlotte Rockbridge Seminary, to ask about her employment status and if they condone her racist remarks. We will update this story if responses are provided. Well, don't hold your breath. All right, here we go. We're over to the Daily Mail. And this is part of this abortion case that's before the Supreme Court. Headline says, "How dare men talk about what a fetus wants? Whoopi Goldberg slams Justice Alito for saying a fetus has an interest in having life," as SCOTUS Roe v. Wade arguments begin. Whoopi Goldberg slammed Justice Samuel Alito on her talk show The View Thursday over commentary he made during a Mississippi abortion ban hearing. On Wednesday, Alito said, quote, "The fetus has an interest in having a life, and that doesn't change, does it, from the point before viability to the point after viability," close quote. Goldberg slammed Alito, saying as a man he should not have any say in what an unborn child can or cannot have a say in when an unborn child can or cannot live outside of the uterus. She also said he has no place to tell a woman what I need to do with my doctor and my family. Well, first off, let's just acknowledge that Whoopi Goldberg is way past the wall. She's postmenopausal, so I don't think she has to worry about being pregnant. And by the looks of her, I don't think she could find a man that would want to try to impregnate her. But, you know, this trope that you hear from feminists is that men have no right to have any view on anything having to do with abortion or reproduction or anything, but I'd like to point out to Whoopi Goldberg that men certainly are called in to pay for these kids. They're certainly blamed for impregnating single mothers. I mean, how many times do you hear anytime there's a talk of unwed mothers, there's always the blame always put on so-called deadbeat dads. Well, I'd have to ask the woman, why are you getting pregnant with deadbeats? I mean, you're the one picking them. And also, you know, I have to say as a general comment, men have a right to comment on any topic. I mean, after all, whether they want to admit it or not, men created, built, and maintained the damn world that Whoopi Goldberg lives in. And with if you could snap your fingers and all men disappeared, Whoopi Goldberg wouldn't be able to survive for probably more than a week. I mean, there's the old rule of threes. 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, and 30 days without food. You can't survive past that. If all men disappeared, I would predict that the power electricity would go down within a matter of hours if you didn't have men maintaining the power plants, water plants. That would all go down within hours. Gasoline would stop being produced, and trucked into gas stations. Of course, gas stations wouldn't be able to function without electricity. And all these things, everything would come to a stop, and Whoopi Goldberg would be running around. She wouldn't even be able to. She could get air, obviously, so she could make it past 3 minutes. But I don't think she could make it past 3 days because there wouldn't be any water, and certainly couldn't get past 30 days. Well, looking at her weight, she might push the limit of 30 days of no food. But I mean, once the grocery stores are empty, due to no food being produced and none of it being moved around from the factories, and the factories not working, farms not working, I'd like to know what women like Whoopi Goldberg think they would do. Probably go drink ocean water, since I think she's in Los Angeles. Yeah, that would do it. Go drink some ocean water. You got a whole ocean full of salt water. I guess she thinks she could stay alive on that. I think probably a lot of Hollywood actresses think, oh, we'll just drink water from the ocean. Well, anyway, the fact of the matter is, and they can't change this, men created, built, maintained the world that makes her life possible, and if all men disappeared, she probably wouldn't survive a week, at least not 30 days. So I think based on that, men have a right to have an opinion on anything. Well, anyway, it goes down here. It says the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization on Wednesday. It will release their final opinion in the coming weeks. Mississippi has asked the court to revisit Roe directly, as well as another landmark 1992 case that it upheld. The Mississippi law passed in 2018 directly contradicts the Roe versus Wade ruling, where the court decided that abortion must be legal pre-viability. Well, you know, even if the Supreme Court completely overturns Roe versus Wade, the states could still have abortion. I think they were allowing abortion even before the Roe case. Certain states had abortion, so the liberal states can still have all the abortions they want. The Democrats can get all the abortions they want. That's not all downside there. There's an upside to that. Whoopi Goldberg, I don't know. She's not going to have any more kids. I don't even know if she had any, but women like Whoopi Goldberg could still get abortions. They're in California. I don't see California getting rid of it, but it wouldn't make it, wouldn't get rid of the national mandate for abortion, so the states would still be allowed to have them. And I'm sure the liberal states would keep it legal, so I don't really know what they're all worked up over. It's even if the Supreme Court upholds the Mississippi law, it's not going to get rid of abortions in the states. So anyway, Bob, back to you, KAAJOY, Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. I had a couple thoughts while you were doing that. There'd be no fetus without the male sperm. The female can carry that egg around till she's old, gray, and dead. Without the sperm, there's no fetus. So yes, the male does have part of this. And as far as Whoopi Goldberg, whoa. Good thing Marty can't talk on the radio, because I don't think I would sleep with Whoopi with Martin dangling participle. So I hope he got a chuckle out of that. Yeah, she's kind of a crazy old bat, but I think one of the best parts, Mr. Bill, is the Biden administration. On the news, they said that their feeling or their, what was the word? It's not their feeling. Their position was that it should be the woman's right to decide what she does with her body. Isn't that interesting that that's the Biden administration, their position? What about the shot? Over.
Yeah, Roger. They always try to have a convenient twist on everything. Yeah, it's all the woman's right, but to get an abortion, but you can't have the right whether you get the vaccination.
Interesting twist. I thought that was unique when I heard that said on the news, that that was their position. So, thank you, Bill. I'm KO4FE, KJOI. Appreciate it. Let me jump down to Mr. Gary, Whiskey Bravo 2, Juliet, Alpha, and an X-ray. Mr. Gary in New Jersey, what are your thoughts on round number 2?
Well, thanks, Bob, KAAJOI, WB2JAS, with a bad voice here. I'm just going to make a couple comments. I think that's all I got left in me. Number one here, on Chris Hedges on RT, somebody mentioned RT. I find truth wherever I find it. And I find lately RT is has got a lot of things going for it. So anyway, Chris Hedges, which I agree with him a lot. He was a war correspondent back in the Kosovo conflict over there, and he has a lot of good insights. And he doesn't watch TV much. He does a lot of reading books, etc. So he had a guest on. His name is Alfred McCoy, professor in Wisconsin. He said, among other things, he said there was three ages, an Iberian age, the British Empire era, and then after 70 million dead, it was 1940 on, it was the U.S. domination. And he said up until 2022, this coming year, China will have they'll be more or less the dominant communism, whatever you want to call it, they're going to dominate until 2030, because that's about as long as this man says we are going to have a so much of a heat climate that there's not going to be any arid land. You can see out in Nevada that Lake Mead and the Hoover Dam, etc., on and on, that there's no more water coming. It's really a natural disaster. And he said there's only going to be arid land in a small belt all around the world that's going to be arid. Tillable to produce food. So you're going to have an influx. You think the southern border in the United States is open now? I don't think we're going to be able to do anything but build a wall, or if they come across, you're going to kill them. That's about probably the only option. And even in Poland, I believe it's Poland and Hungary, the people coming up from down south, they're building walls also because of the winter bombed by the United States and everybody else in the UN that's ganged up on all these people and bombed the shit out of them. Yemen is another one that's starving the hell out of those people. So we're not doing too good. He also mentioned that about 1,000 installations, I call them installations, that we embassies and camps and all kind of special ops and all kind of baloney that's going on around the world. He said a sooner or later, he said very soon, they're going to have to get out of there because they're going to have to come home and protect our country from the invasions of what we've been doing to all the other countries. Anyway, I'm running out of gas. K-A-H-J-O-Y-W-B-2-J-A-X.
All righty, Gary, thank you for being with us. Stick around to the end. WB2JAXKJY. Let me jump down and see if Mr. Basil in Alabama is back with us. Kilo November 4, Lima, Quebec X-ray. Mr. Basil in Alabama, are you back with us? Over. Nothing heard. I'll show him checked out. Mr. Larry, N4ROQ, what do you got for us in Tennessee?
Okay, Tom. Taiwan is having some problems with the Chinese planes entering their zone. Says Taiwan sends jets after 27 Chinese planes in a buffer zone. 27. Taiwan said 27 Chinese aircraft entered its air defense buffer zone on Sunday. The latest in a long series of incursions is Beijing's pressure on the self-ruled island. The defense ministry said Taiwan scrambled combat aircraft to warn the Chinese planes to leave. Sunday's incursion included 18 fighter jets and 5 H-6 bombers, as well as Y-20 aerial refueling aircraft, according to Taiwan's defense ministry. Over the past year, the frequency of Chinese incursions has increased, so they're seeing what kind of response I'm sure that Taiwan's sending up. And when they do the bomb, what kind of response are they going to have to overtake, I guess. So anyway, be thinking about these Taiwanese. Taiwan, because it looks like China's probably looking at something there in the future. There was an earthquake, 7.5 earthquake magnitude strikes northern Peru. That comes from Lima, Peru. An earthquake with a preliminary magnitude of 7.5 last Sunday damaged some buildings and blocking several roads with rubble. While the quake was extremely strong, it was relatively deep, measured at 70 miles, which usually reduces the possibility of damage and casualties. closed the 16th century church in Lajalco. District in the Amazon region collapsed and three people were lightly injured. Mayor Walter Colque told Peru's RPP radio following several highways. So, sound like a pretty good sized earthquake down there. Let's see. Here's a, they're working on a lot of batteries for these electric vehicles. Mercedes Delantis to work with U.S. company on new batteries. Automakers Mercedes-Benz and Stellantis announced agreements with U.S. company Factorial Energy on Tuesday to help develop solid-state battery technology. The help could make electric cars more attractive to a mass market. Mercedes-Benz owner Daimler AG said it joined forces with Factorial, based in Wilburg, Massachusetts, to jointly develop batteries with the aim of testing prototype cells as early as next year. It said it is investing a high double-digit million-dollar amount in Factorial that will give the right to a representative on the battery company's board of directors. Stellantis, which combined PSA Peugeot and Fiat Chrysler, said it signed a joint development agreement with Factorial, that's spelled F-A-C-T-O-R-I-A-L, and is making a strategic investment in the company. It didn't detail the size of the investment. Well, these liberal Democrats, these socialists are running. They're pushing these car companies to do away with any type of internal combustion engines within 5 to 20 years. I've seen different places here. So 5 to 15 to 20 years, they're making them, or they're asking them to guarantee they're not going to make any more. So they're trying to phase our combustion engines out, and that's the last thing I want to have happen. That's for sure. They want to get you down, or you of course you know recharging all that electric stuff takes time and money. And there you are, wherever you're at, you're sitting there until you can get that thing charged. If they want to turn all the charging systems off, you won't be getting it charged. So they've got a way to control you, in other words, electric vehicles, and that's what they want to do. All right. Well, I think I've got another short article here. Here's another. Battery fund is to invest $17.6 billion in electric vehicles and batteries. Tokyo Nissan said Monday it is investing $17.6 billion over the next 5 years and is developing a cheaper, more powerful battery to boost its electric vehicle lineup. The Japanese automaker chief executive Makoto Yukidi, that's spelled U-C-H-I-D-A, said 15 new electric vehicles will be available by fiscal year 2030. Nissan Motor Company is aiming for a 50% electrification of the company's model lineup under what this gentleman calls the Nissan Ambition 2030 long-term plan. So by 2030, they want to have 50% of their vehicles with electric motors ready to go. Electrified vehicles, including hybrids and other kinds of environmentally friendly models other than just electric vehicles. The effort is focused mainly on electric vehicles to cut emissions and meet various customer needs. Also will reduce carbon emissions at its factories. The company has been struggling to put the scandal with its former chairman, Carlos Ghosn, behind it. Ghosn, who led Nissan for 2 decades after he was sent to Japan by French alliance partner Renault, was arrested in Tokyo in 2018 on various financial misconduct charges. Let's see, Nissan's electrification rests on developing a new ASSB, or all-solid-state battery, that is categorized as a breakthrough for being cheaper and generating more power than batteries now in use. That means electric powertrains can be more easily used in trucks, vans, and other heavy vehicles because the batteries can be smaller. The ASSB will be in mass production by 2028, according to Nissan. The cost of electric vehicles will also fall into the battery innovation to levels comparable with regular gasoline cars. Nissan has emerged from a crisis and is ready to make a new start, he says. So, that's what they're working on there. And we'll shoot back to you there, Bob. That's from Larry in Tennessee, JOI from N4RLK.
Thank you, Larry. I have to add one thing to there. You're talking about the electric cars. And Cadillac made a comment that they were going to try to stop, or that their cars were going to be electric starting in 2025. They do have an electric SUV out that's rather expensive, but for 2022, Cadillac has introduced a CT5 four-door sedan, 668 horsepower, 6.2 liter V8 engine Cadillac. It's got a Corvette engine in it, and it's being produced for 2022. So really, how much of a hurry do they want to put electric on the road?
Well, they're signing agreements with the Democrats to by like 2030, I believe some of them are. I've read, so I'll have to look. I mean, they may be still making it out, but they're making concessions on it.
Well, and you know, I had a Tesla, and I am no fan of that electric because you made a very important point. It controls how far you can go between stopping, and when you plug into the charger, they know where you are. Because immediately when you plug into that charger, it charges your credit card and says what the location and the time and then you're at charging that car. So, again, way too much control. Thank you, Larry. N4ROQ, KHOI. Down to Mr. Moe. Let me see if you're still with us. KD0RSA, Mr. Moe in Nebraska. How's the listening? Over. Mr. Jesse, give a shout to Mr. Moe to see if he can hear you.
Hey, Roger. Mr. Moe, KD0RSA, you copy KD4ZXC relay. I guess I'm getting no response. Just know if you're out there, sir, we was trying to call for you. All right, I'm going to hand it back over to Bob, KHOI.
All righty, I'll just show him unavailable so I can check for him again on the 73 round. Thank you, Jesse. It's my relay, and that's what I have you in my logger as. Let me go to Mr. Tim, protecting the Constitution, KC3PTC. Mr. Tim, round number 2, what say you?
Well, thanks for having me back on, and boy, it's some good stuff again. 100% responsible. If I'm losing his hand, his responsibility to check it, even if it's a prop gun. If it's a toy gun, you don't point the muzzle at anything you're not willing to destroy. Plain and simple. What is interesting about that, there's a filmmaker whose name is put together a little short. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm going to be very light on what I say about this. I don't say this is fact yet or what the opinion is here, but Ed Snedeker made a claim that the woman who was shot, the filmmaker that was shot, her father was in the military, a general or something in the military, and had some compromising information on the Clintons. It sounds far-fetched. This is the report that I heard. I'm waiting for a copy of the video. I can't wait to look at it myself to see what's in it. It'll be interesting to see if there's any validity to this. That this actually turns out to be a hit with unwilling hitman, or unknowing hitman. Ed Snedeker is the funder. Bob, you mentioned the War of 1812. I think everybody knows the War of 1812 was fought in 1776. That's when Japan dropped the bombs at the World Trade Centers, right? So, man, I can't believe that story. That just blows my mind. These kids, these poor kids, have no idea why America is America. It's a shame. The War of 1812. You give them the answer and they don't know. That's pretty bad. And then Bob was talking, or Bill Ryder was talking about the professor at the theological college, saying that whites are demons and preaching hatred. Sounds like she's guilty of exactly what she was complaining about. And of course, that's typical for the left. I don't call them liberals because let's take it for what it's worth. When you're liberal about something, you're open-minded, right? That's kind of the definition. You're going to be open-minded. You're going to be willing to discuss. These people are just downright leftist communists that will like you as long as you agree with them. That being said, they are not liberals. We got to stop calling them Democrats. They're not Democrats. They're communists. The faster we can embrace the communist control that's going on right now, the quicker we can bring it to a resolution by voting them out. So they're not communists. I'm sorry, they're not Democrats. They are communists. Alec Baldwin, 100% responsible. You always check the chamber. Ed Snedeker, I'm going to do some research. I want to find this film and see what he has to say, and maybe I'll be able to report on that on another night. Hopefully I can get another break away from the nighttime job like I did today. And I think that's it. Great net tonight, folks. Great net. Everybody's got a lot of great comments. I'm really enjoying it, and God bless America. I love this country, and I'll do what I got to do to save her. KC3, protect the Constitution. Back to net control. Thanks, Bob.
All righty, Tim. I got to tell you one more little story, and I'll use up my time now instead of going to the top. So 2 years ago on December 7th, I was on patrol, and two young men, they were seniors at my high school, and let me tell you, my high school spends a lot of money on these kids. We are well known for our education. Funny. Anyhow, these two rocket scientists are at the intersection in their daddy's Mercedes, and they're out of gasoline. I always carry 2.5 gallons in the back of my cruiser in a somewhat explosion-resistant can, so I end up using the gasoline probably twice a week. That's how many times people run out of fuel. I just don't believe why, but they do. So these two idiots are in the intersection and they're out of fuel. They send me to it. They tell me they're out of gas. It's December 7th. And I said, I'm curious. I'm getting the gas can out. I'm curious, guys. Do you know what today is? What happened on this day many years ago that affected America? And they both looked at each other, dumbfounded. I said, let me give you a hint. It would have been in the 40s. So I know you weren't born, but it was monumental to this country. They both looked at me stupid. I said, okay, let me try something else. It has to do with a world war. Now I'm getting ready to pour gasoline in their daddy's car for them. And they just looked at me, and I said, come on. You know, World War II? And the one young man said, oh, that's the day that we bombed Japan and started the war. Tim, I immediately stopped pouring the gasoline in their car, went back to my car and put it away, and told the young man, you're too stupid to drive a car. You need to call your parents and have them bring you gasoline. Now, mind you, the father filed a complaint against me because I called his son stupid. But when we went to the little hearing and they watched the video, they basically had to say, how dumb could they be? You told them everything about the day. And they were too dumb to know that it was when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. Over.
As sad as that is, Bob, it's just sickening. It's just sickening. It needs to be taken a step further. It needs to be taken to the school board. And why are these kids not being taught American history? I mean, the fact that the kid even thought that it's because that America bombed Japan to start the war, it just hit me in the gut. Great story. Sad story, but a great story. KC3, Protect the Constitution.
It is a sad story because if we don't remember our history, we're bound to repeat it. KC3, PTC, KJY. Mr. Jesse, I'm back to you, my relay station. Of course, you and Larry both are relay stations, so KG4, ZX Tennessee, KAHAOY.
Hey, very good, Bob. Good golly. Yeah, I just wanted to comment briefly on just that, but let me get this out of the way. Good evening, everybody. Once again, from the voter fraud state of Pennsylvania, I am KG4ZXE, just down out of the voter fraud state of PA here. You're right, Bob. There's so many games. People out here that do not know their history. And, you know, I scratched my head many years and I said, why should we know history, you know? And growing up in a high school, you know, environment, you know, I thought, well, I know more than these people. I don't need history. And then as my life went on, I realized how important it really was. So I try not to make the same mistakes, and I try to give all our kids the best education we can, and always correct them when they need to be corrected, especially when what they're being taught today in this day and time. Wow, that's an amazing story, Bob. I just wanted to comment on that real briefly. To say tonight anyway, we've had a lot of great comments tonight, and it's something that everybody needs to be on their game right now, this day and time, because without our Second Amendment, we'd be like Australia right now. Oh, by the way, you know, concentration camp in Australia. Oh, well, guess what? Germany and the EU is adopting this, and they're throwing the Nuremberg Code out the window. And they're going to continue this. And if it wasn't for our Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, we'd already be in the same boat. And that's the only thing that's stopping these people from taking our lives away from us. They tried to poison us with this bioweapon called the Corona shot. Vaccine, my Harry, but you know, there ain't no such thing as a vaccine. They can't make it quick enough, and it has not one piece of actual virus
in the vaccine. So that tells you right there it's null and void as a vaccine.
This is a bioweapon designed by Chinese communist government, and they allowed our government to push this on people as we know it. Yeah, I know, I'm preaching to the choir, but I'll tell you what, it hurts my butt so bad when it comes to this. It's just unbelievable how much we have to endure before the pitchforks and torches come out. In a matter of time, if this continues the way it's going to be just unbelievable.
Well, anyway, Bob,
done with my rant for the time being, but I'd like to go ahead and thank Miss Laura and Mr. Marty into IRJ and Miss Laura into JTPS. Thank you guys for being here tonight, and Mr. Paul for doing the recordings like always, and everybody else who has checked in tonight. It has been an honor just being here, just listening to all the great comments and input throughout the whole evening. Anyway, Bob, I'll pass it back up to you, and I hope everybody stays safe through this season. The Christmas season here, and I'm going to say Merry Christmas to everybody if I don't hear from you before then. But this is KG4ZXC and the Saturday Night Liberty Net, and I'm going to pass it back to Mr. Bob, K-A-J-O-Y. Take it away, Bob.
Roger, roger. Well, I have to say I do like quizzing young people on what they don't know, and it's a shame. There's another couple here in town. The father is medically retired from the U.S. Army. The children are homeschooled. The one child's in 10th grade. And I was asking her questions about history. She said she doesn't know history. I said, so what subject do you know? And she said, I know government and science. And I said, perfect. What are the three branches of the United States government? She could not answer. So I said, let's go to health then. Health and science. How many bones are in the human body? She didn't know. Now, what the hell are these kids learning? I mean, I just am amazed. I can't even, it's a wonder they know how to go 2 plus 2. But it's just one of those quirky things I enjoy doing to young people. And I'm so sad by what they don't know. Simple things they don't know. All righty, Mr. Jesse, thanks to KG4ZX in the C. Mr. Frank has checked out, W2GIO. So let me go to Mr. Gary in the state of Georgia. Kilo, November 4, Romeo, Tango, Oscar. Kilo, November 4, Romeo, Tango, Oscar. Mr. Gary. Nothing heard. Let me go to Mr. Michael. Kilo, 4, Bravo, Foxtrot, Romeo. He said that the band was shifting, but hopefully we can still hear him. K4, BFR, KHOI.
Yeah, Robert, I still got a copy on you and a couple of the others there, but it's definitely acting weird in my neighborhood. You were talking about the on-patrol and meeting stupid people. Yeah, I had several years of on-patrol and meeting stupid people as an officer in military police and deputy sheriff, but I found more people once they started working on traffic signals than I did all those years on patrol. And I tell you what, man, it is amazing how little people know nowadays.
It is. It's really sad. And it's not just history. It's basic concepts of our government. Who was our first president? Who was our 16th president? What happened to John F. Kennedy? Very simple questions that I would think a senior in high school should be able to tell me. And then you go to health questions about the human body or stuff like that. They don't know anything. I don't know what they do know, over.
Well, I remember exactly where I was and what I was
remember Kennedy got, or Robert Kennedy got killed. I remember what I was doing when the team got killed, and I also remember what I was doing when the towers fell in New York. So, you know, there's a whole lot of history, and people, the kids today, all they have to do is ask.
Enough of us have lived through a majority of this stuff, we'd be happy to
tell them what's going on, but nah, they don't need it because somebody said they don't need it. You don't need to know social studies. You don't need to know geography or any of this other stuff. All you need to know is follow the rules laid on by the government. So I posted something today that got a lot of comments, and so far they're all favorable. You've got a choice. You either learn and study history, or you trust the government. You cannot do both. Roger.
Roger, Roger. Very good. thank you, Mr. Michael. Well, I'm going to stop. I'm going to break with you. I've got a new gentleman in here from North Ridgeville. I'm going to see if I can pick him up before I start the 73 round. So I'm going to clear with K4PFR. And I'm going to jump down to Mr. Mark, November 8th, Oscar Hotel Alpha. You're only a county away from me, Mr. Mark. Good evening. November 8th, Oscar Hotel Alpha. Mr. Mark, are you listening? Jesse, since he's so close to me, do you hear him or can you call for him? November 8th, Oscar Hotel Alpha.
Okay, let me give him a shout. November 8th, Oscar Hotel Alpha, you copy Radio Station Kilo Golf 4, Zulu X-ray Charlie. November 8th, Oscar Hotel Alpha. We're ringing your doorbell. Okay, I guess he's not responding there, Bob.
Alrighty. Well, with that being said, I'm at the bottom of the list before I start the 73 round. Do I have any new check-ins for the Saturday Night Liberty Net? Nothing heard, so my comment will be real quick, and it'll be kind of directed to protecting the Constitution and Michael. So my last young person that I questioned, I thought I'd move it up a step. I would come to 9/11. My goodness, every freshman, junior, sophomore, senior of schooling today should know about 9/11 because we still talk about it. We still have the ceremony. I asked the one young lady that's in 10th grade, how many planes hit the World Trade? Well, first of all, I asked her, where were the World Trade Centers? She did not know they were in New York. I explained to her they were in New York. It was a terrorist attack. How many airplanes hit the World Trade Center? She didn't know. Her daddy's a U.S. Army veteran. My next question was a total of how many aircraft were hijacked and crashed in America on September 11th of 2001. And she got up from the table and walked to another room because I am apparently such a bad person. So, and Jesse's even said it too. How can these young people not know this is what's making America, you know, this is what we've been through as a country. How can you not know some of these statistics? They're simple history, but that's where we're at. The next on the list is Miss Laura, into JTT and into IRJ. Thank you for the both of you being with us. Let's see. Next is going to be Mr. Russell. Mr. Russell, KK4WX, what do you have for the 73 round, sir?
Okay, Bob. Good deal all the way around. KA8JOY from KK4WX. I just wanted to comment right quick, like on you got the signal, and of course Larry's always got a good signal on me, and Bill does up in Pennsylvania. I'll tell you what, I believe we got a pipeline going to Pennsylvania tonight. Beautiful signals coming out of that state. And Jesse, I don't know if you're in a state of voter corruption any worse than Georgia is. Where? Talking about corrupt. I mean, we got it down here. It just blows your mind to stop and think about what happened during the 2020 election. And if you ever watch that frankspeech.com with Mike Lindell on Mike Lindell's channel, and you look at all the stuff and whatnot, it's overwhelming and it's mind-blowing, and it just makes you want to stop and wonder what in the world is everyone thinking. The news media, the Supreme Court in our land, why are they pursuing this, these election issues? I really don't know what to do about it. So that's a bad thing. I don't know anything we can do about it. But we know what happened here in Georgia. We were not supposed to have drop-off box. We were not supposed to have Dominion voting machines. The governor and the secretary of state, Raffensperger, put those in there, I guess. We never knew anything about no Dominion voting machine. Now we're stuck with it. What are we going to do? We'll never have a fair election again. And, what else was it on? But something else, anyway. None of this was voted on by the legislature of Georgia and by the Constitution. It has to be approved by the legislature. Not by the governor. The governor doesn't have the authority, or the secretary of state, to go and take it upon themselves to change the voting rules and all this and that, right in the middle of the midstream. And look at all the fraud that happened in Fulton County. And this was caught on tape. I'm talking about on video. They had proof. But yet, what have they done? They've done nothing. I don't even think they've arrested anybody. They haven't even put anybody in, taking them to court and charged them with a crime. I mean, how ridiculous can it get, Jesse? I mean, I know you guys have some kind of questionable things, too, up there in Pennsylvania. I think one of the things that you guys have is, how in the world could there be more votes than people that was living? That's one of the things I understand. There was more votes in Pennsylvania than there were people. How does that add up? It just, and I've heard it time and time again. How many votes can you muster up, and you don't even have that many people in the whole state? Crazy, man, I'm gonna tell you. And still, nobody wants to look at it. Nobody, no court, no FBI, nobody, no law enforcement. I mean, it just makes you wonder who in the world is supposed to look at this stuff. Somebody should have to look at it inside of Mike Lindell. And, I don't know, but it seems awful strange to me. I don't know if Laura is a listener or not, but if they are, I know they used to make comments on what kind of browser to use would maintain your privacy.
And so this is a question that goes out to maybe Mark or his wife, and maybe they could email me. I'm not sure I even have their email anymore because they've had two or three, and seems like, well, we don't think that one anymore or something. So I haven't been sending you guys any email because I don't know which is a legitimate email address anymore. So if you feel the same, but of course I got the ARRL bill too on QRZ. You can always go there. I think it's KK4WS at ARRL.net. Or my last name in plural form at yahoo.com. So either one will get to the same time. And if any of you guys know of a browser that you can use, that would not be limited to what search on it. When I say limited, in other words, like this Mike Lindell, you try to search some of these conservative sources or these truth networks. I tell you what, it's called Big Tech or whatever you want to call it, Google and Yahoo and all the other browsers. What's this one? Microsoft Edge and all those. They will absolutely cut. You start watching the InfoWars, or you start watching the little Mike Lindell channel, and all of a sudden it'll go to streaming, and the picture will freeze. And I went and I changed browsers, and all of a sudden it would work. So I don't know a good browser, though, that I could use, and maybe some of you do, and you might want to make a comment on that on your next go-around. Party. And his wife knows of some. Now, I use DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo is a search engine on the browsers I have, but DuckDuckGo is just a search engine. That's not a browser. So I've tried to look for a DuckDuckGo browser, but what I could find was for my iPhone. So I couldn't find it when I go on the laptop here, so be interesting to know. And let's see, what else comment on? I get my comment on all the history lessons and whatnot. You know, where they say you're bound to repeat if you don't know your history. So that's well said, needless to say. But it's amazing that somebody doesn't even know how many planes was involved in 911, or they don't know how many planes hit the towers, or where even the towers were. They certainly probably don't know that it was Saudi Arabia or every one of the terrorist pilots came from Saudi Arabia. And every single one of them was trained right here in the U.S. They took flight lessons and flight school right here in the U.S., so we taught them how to fly those planes into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon field out there in Pennsylvania. 40, people. Unfortunately, they lost their lives, but they gave their lives in order to save no country any others. Thwarted the attack of that particular aircraft to wherever it was headed. Who knows what it was. So, anyway, back up there to you, Bob. Enjoyed it, and we'll to the final of everybody. We'll say good night, 7-3, and get you any Merry Christmas on the way. So, KAHJOY.
All righty, Mr. Russ. Well, they are listening, and I know you're not on NetLogger, so I sent you an email to ARRL.net I sent you Marty's two email addresses, and Laura said to www.brave.com is a good browser for privacy. So I forwarded it out onto you to your email address.
Okay. You said it's Brave, B-R-A-V-E, or?
Correct. That's what Laura texted me, that Brave was a good browser for privacy.
Okay, good deal. I'll see if I can't look that up. Very much appreciated, Laura, if you can hear me, if you're listening. So this is KK4WA.
They are listening, and they did hear you. So that's great. Thank you there, Russell. Mr. John is gone. So let me go to Mr. Bill. KO4FE, KAJOY. What's your final thoughts, Mr. Bill?
Okay, KAJOY. LibertyNet, KO4FE. Well, Bob, you know, you were telling that story about them two boys in that BMW, and they said that World War II started when the United States bombed Japan. Well, you know, maybe you should have cut them some slack, because knowing these woke-tard teachers, that's probably what they taught them. Probably taught them that the evil white supremacist United States attacked the poor innocent Japanese with two atomic bombs, and that's what started World War II. So maybe that's what they taught them. Well, anyway, I got a funny story here. Daily Mail, listen to this headline: Black Lives Matter calls for month-long boycott of white companies during the holiday season to support Black Christmas and to end white supremacist capitalism. The Black Lives Matter movement is calling for supporters to boycott white companies, organizations, and banks for the holiday shopping season. They say we're dreaming of a Black Christmas, which means no spending with white companies, the official Black Christmas website says. Well, all I can say is, go for it, man. If you can buy, I'd like to know how many, I mean, does that mean you're not going to use the computer because of white companies running the software companies, the computer companies, the internet companies? Does that mean they're not going to be buying any Christmas presents because of white companies? I don't know. I guess they could support the local black-owned liquor stores. They could buy some Night Train or some MD, well, not MD 2020, but I don't know what alcohol is black-owned. I don't know what is black-owned. There's not that many companies that are exclusively black-owned. I mean, publicly owned companies, some of them have black CEOs, but they're not owned by blacks. I'm not sure who they would buy from. Well, anyway, so go ahead and go for it. I don't care. Now, here's an interesting article. Kind of a weird article. Let me just get into it, and you can make what you want out of it. This is Gateway Pundit. Headline, strange bedfellows. Hunter Biden's laptop shows he had a relationship with someone you'd never guess. Emails on Hunter Biden's laptop reveal the unlikely close friendship between Hunter Biden and Tucker Carlson. The Daily Mail reported on the connection between Tucker Carlson and Hunter Biden yesterday. Hunter Biden was a close friend with Tucker Carlson, wrote a recommendation for his son's Georgetown application, and even got Carlson to intervene in a story about him on Hunter's behalf. Emails from Hunter's abandoned laptop showed the Fox anchor and the president's son were close until about 2015, revealing that Carlson failed to disclose the true extent of his friendship throughout his extensive coverage of the scandals surrounding Hunter's business and personal transgressions revealed by his abandoned computer. In emails, Hunter professed his love for Carlson and his family and called him buddy and told him, quote, you're a friend. This is a bit surprising since Tucker reported on Hunter Biden's dealings with Burisma shortly before the 2020 election. But on the other hand, Tucker did report that a package he received of Hunter Biden documents went missing shortly before the 2020 election. Tucker, a few days later, claimed he found the lost package, but the contents of that package were not shared before the 2020 election. So, I don't know what to think of this. Tucker Carlson, buddies with Hunter Biden. Now, of course, he wasn't buddies with him after his laptop got exposed, but it sounds like they had a pretty good relationship in the past. Really makes you wonder. So anyway, Bob, 73s to everyone that checked in. Had a pretty good list tonight. Band held up, fortunately. Nothing going short, nothing going long. The noise was reasonable, so I thought it was pretty good. And again, thank you for doing an excellent job of running the net. And everybody was coming in pretty good. So anyway, we'll be looking for everyone on Wednesday. And hopefully everything will be favorable then. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
All righty, Bill. Thank you, thank you. Well, I can only think about Tucker and Hunter. I had a co-worker at my employment. And basically a snake, but we worked together, and when people asked about our relationship, I would say keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Well, I don't know if that was the case or not. Maybe Hunt, Tucker will talk about it on his on an upcoming show.
We can only hope. That would be interesting. So alrighty, well, I appreciate you staying with us, and there's a total of 15 call signs in the list tonight, so that's really nice. KO4MD, KHLY. Let me drop down to Gary in New Jersey, Whiskey Bravo 2, Juliet Alpha X-Ray. Mr. Gary, what are your final thoughts?
Okay, Bob, KAAJOYWB2JAX. Yeah, I think Tucker did have that interview with Babalewski before the election, and to give him credit for that. Whether he has a past history with the Biden, I don't know. That's up to history to point that out. But I assume that people know Tucker Carlson's not a poor man, you know. His parents had money. Anyway, I got one thing here I'm going to try to get out quick. That Schumer tried to get the judge changed in the trial for the madam, or the Maxwell person. Anyway, he tried to get the judge changed, and that just tells you about how much influence these politicians have. They're all run, they're all crooked. Everybody knows that. But honestly, go to that Tim, T-I-M, Gielen, G-I-E-L-E-N, and it's a documentary on who owns the world. I made that mention Wednesday, and it's a very, very important thing to look at, because it just really, whether you believe 90% of it or 2% of it, take a look at it. KAAJOYWB2JAX 73, everybody.
Thank you, Gary. thanks for being with us tonight, riding along for the whole time. Appreciate your comments, and we only got a couple more to go, so stick around. Whiskey Bravo 2, Juliet Alpha and an X-ray. Nice to have you with us. I'm going to jump down to Mr. Larry. N4ROQ in the great state of Tennessee. Mr. Larry, your final thought.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate you running the net. Thanks for recording. Good to hear a lot of all the people on the net. Everyone had some great comments. Here's this Putin, there's some articles making the USA Today regarding Ukraine. There's 94,000, over 94,000 Russian troops right along the border there between Russia and Ukraine. And Putin is seeking guarantees from the NATO. He's saying that us and NATO are causing a lot of problems out there. The reason they've got their troops there. It says the Kremlin said Friday that President Vladimir Putin will seek binding guarantees, including NATO's expansion to Ukraine during a planned call with U.S. President Joe Biden, while the Ukrainian defense minister warned that Russia could invade his country next month. Tensions between Russia and the West have escalated in recent weeks when the U.S. and other Western allies increasingly concerned that the Russian troop buildup near the Ukrainian border could signal Moscow's intention to invade. The U.S. has threatened the Kremlin with the toughest sanctions yet if it launches an attack, while Russia has warned that any pressure or presence of NATO troops and weapons on Ukrainian soil would cross a red line. Ukrainian Defense Minister Olensky Rezganov told lawmakers Friday that the number of Russian troops near Ukraine and in Russia annexed Crimea is estimated at over 94,000, warning that large-scale escalation is possible in January. Amid the mounting tension, Putin's foreign minister or foreign affairs advisor Yuri Yushinov told reporter Friday that arrangements have been made for a Putin-Biden call in the coming days, adding that the date would be announced after Moscow and Washington finalized details. On Thursday, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with his Russian counterpart, Sergei Lavrov, in Stockholm to demand that Russia pulls back troops from the border with Ukraine. Lavrov reported that the West was playing a spy by denying Russia a say in either further NATO expansion into countries of the former Soviet Union. Ukraine has pushed to join the alliance, which holds out the promise of membership, but hasn't set a tentative timeline. During the call with Biden, Putin will raise his demands for a document that would exclude any NATO moves further east. Russia wants a legally binding agreement that would explore any further NATO expansion eastward and the deployment of weapon systems that would threaten us on the territories of neighboring countries, including Ukraine. The Kremlin aide said that Russia long has pushed for such arrangements, emphasizing that they may be becoming particularly acute amid the latest buildup of tension, aiding that it simply cannot continue like that. Russia and Ukraine have remained locked in a tense tug of war after Russia annexed Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula in 2014 and threw its weight behind a separatist insurgency in Ukraine's eastern industrial heartland known as Donbas. More than 14,000 people have died in the fighting. Ukraine's defense ministry warned Friday that an escalation is a probable scenario, but not certain, and our task is to alert it.
The Kremlin has voiced concerns that Ukraine may use force to reclaim control of the rebel east and added to the tension. The head of a Russian-backed self-proclaimed separatist republic in eastern Ukraine said Thursday that he could turn to Moscow for military assistance if the region faced a Ukrainian attack. So there's power keg. Power keg may go off over there, and I'm hoping we're not going to be involved in the Ukraine. So you guys watch for that. They've got almost 94,000 plus. We're around 94,000 plus troops right there on the border. So back to you over there, Bob, KAHJOI from N4RLQ on the link.
Thank you, Mr. Larry. Thank you for bringing the different topics to the table with us. I appreciate that information. N4ROQ, KHJOI. Next, I'm going to go to Tim for his final thought. Kilo Charlie 3, protect the Constitution. Mr. Tim, your final thought.
KHJOI, KC3, protect the Constitution. I'm going to keep it light right now. I just want to say thank you, everybody, for your participation. Bob, thanks for running a great net again tonight. And if I don't get a chance to talk to you all before the Christmas holiday, please, everybody, enjoy your Christmas. Try to keep positive thoughts, and let's just keep this great country of ours together. We can make it happen. With all the negatives going on, we got to stay positive, and we got to keep it out in the open. We got to be aware of what's going on around us. So with that, I'm going to say farewell for this evening. This is KC3, PTC. Back to net control.
Roger, roger. KC3, PTC. Let's go, Brandon. And last but not least on my list is Mr. Jesse. KG4DX
in the C,
Mr. Jesse, you get the final thoughts.
Hey, well, very good, Bob, and good evening once again, or I should say morning, because this is Sunday morning now. Hey, very good. This is KG4ZX in the C out of the Brother Frog State of Pennsylvania. Once again, letting everybody know that it has been a great evening and a great morning for good comments and people like-minded. You know, Bob, I was going to comment on Russ's comment about the voter fraud in Pennsylvania. I cannot believe we had 80,000 people that went and was vacationing in New York to mail their 80,000 votes back to Pennsylvania through the Postal Service. So Russ, I tell you, there's been some strange things going on up here, and I don't think they're going to get around to solving it anytime soon. But what we can do out here, ladies and gentlemen, is wait till voting time gets back around, if we have that. If we ain't under crazy lockdown, everybody needs to take a sledgehammer to the voting precinct and smash every Dominion machine there is and make sure that they take votes one at a time and shut the Postal Service down for the entire month just to eliminate mail ballots. Because if you can't mail in person, you shouldn't vote at all. I mean, if you can't vote in person, you should not vote at all. All right, well, anyway, and also, Russ, if you're still in there, Tor is another good browser as well. T-O-R. Oprah. Not Oprah, Winfrey, but actually it's pronounced Opera. Opera is also a good, pretty much a VPN browser that will help out a lot for privacy as well. Russ, if you got that, shoot me an email anytime and I can pass on a lot of good information like that as well. So,
Anyway, for the rest of everybody, I'd like to thank everybody who's participated tonight as well. And it's been an excellent night. Bob, thank you for running the net, and it's always a pleasure working with you. And everybody else out there tonight, I'd like to go ahead and thank Mr. Marty into IRJ, Ms. Laura into JTT, and Mr. Paul. Thank you for doing the recording. And good to hear PT Protect the Constitution in there, Mr. Kidd. Bill up there south of me, thanks for being here tonight. And always, Mr. Mo, if you're out there listening, God bless you, sir. And I like to bless this great country, Bob. And thank you once again. We decided to start moving into Sunday morning, back to KHJOY. And that is my final thought. God bless this great country and God save America. Thank you, Bob.
Roger, Roger, Jesse. You made a comment about the U.S. mail. I have a question for you. Did you know that those dirty, rotten SOBs raised the rate of a first-class stamp on December 1st? I heard nothing, nothing in the media that the first-class stamp went from 55 cents to 58 cents on December 1st. Over.
Well, you know, I did not hear about it except through another little birdie, but I wasn't sure if it was true, but you just verified it for me. I tell everybody, boycott the Postal Service at all costs. If you can mail anything through FedEx or one of the other outfits, please do. Stay away from the United States Postal Service because they are nothing but spies and they are infiltrators and they are part of the voter fraud that's going on right here in this great nation. Back to you, Bob.
Comment.
I heard someone make a comment. This is probably going to be the last year I'm going to do Christmas cards. I'm just sick of every year it being more expensive. But the comment station, go ahead, please.
Yeah, now, KC3PTZ, one last thing I did want to tell you. I did watch that video. The guy's name is David Snedeker, not Ed Snedeker. And I forwarded a copy to you. I'd love to hear your comments if you ever get a chance to watch it. It is about an 18-minute video. It seems a little far-fetched, but is it? So with that, I'll send it back. I did want to mention to you that I sent that to your account that you have on QRS. KC3, Protect the Constitution.
All right, Tim. Thank you. KC3PTC and also KG4ZXNC. Alrighty. I'll throw it out for any last minute comments. One more shout, over. Nothing heard, so yes, thank you for each and every one of you that was with us tonight for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. I'll start out in the list. Myself, Miss Laura, N2JTG, KK4WX, K4XYC, KO4FE, WD2JAX, KN4LQX, N4R2, KD0RSA, KC3PTC, KG4ZXNC, Whiskey2, Golf Ida Oscar, KN4RTO, K4BFR, he checked out, and K8OHA. I still show you listening, but I never got to speak with you. With that being said, I will, as I close the window on this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers that are possibly listening. A special thank you and a rest in peace to our silent key founder, W1WCR. It is my prayer for God to bless this great country, bless our first responders, our nurses, our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and coasties. With that being said, 73s to all, thank you for joining us tonight. It was a great, great 3 hour and 10 minute Liberty Net. This is KAJOY.
73s, Bob.
73s, Mr. Jeff.
And 73s, everybody else.
KG4 is complete.
Good night, all.
10-4-WA.
Good night, Mr. Russ. And I sent another email to you from another. Paul sent one, sent something to Laura, and I forwarded that to you.
Okay, thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate it. 10-4-WA.
Roger, roger.